Hi everyone, welcome. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Architecture Wealth. My name is Mark Struthers. I am your host. As you can see behind me, I am a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. And as my wife would say, among other things, I hopefully in a loving way, I am the owner and founder of Sono Wealth. And our new podcast is designed to help not just parents, but to help anyone who is trying to build well-balanced wealth. We are here to give you the tools to build well-balanced wealth. And as you could tell by my reference to parents, this podcast used to be called The Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. We still have a lot of very parent-centric things. My business specializes in helping working professional families. We specialize in education funding, and that was the focus of balancing retirement and education funding in the previous podcast. So lots of good things for kids, certainly college admissions, 529 plans, that kind of stuff. We're still going to have those. We're going to still have a lot of good guests regarding that type of stuff, but we're also going to have things like I-bonds and inflation and donor advice funds and tax plannings and what your balance sheet should look like at what age. So we're still going to have lots of good stuff that's parent-centric, but a lot of good things for those that aren't parents or empty nesters. Today, we're talking about I-bonds. We're going to have a series of inflation-orientated topics. Inflation's been on everyone's mind. There was many who said we would never have inflation again. There's a couple in my industry that well-known. One of them's a podcast host of Masters in Business, who maybe he changed his mind, but very recently he would often talk about how their inflation will never come. We've certainly had healthcare inflation, education inflation. We've been searching for other types of inflation, including wage inflation. And that's actually a topic for another day. We're trying to keep these podcasts for those of us that are slow, that we could run a mile. So if we can get the podcast done in 1 mile, that's what we're looking for. Now, if you're fast, you're going to maybe do 2 miles. If you're like my cross-country running son, he could come pretty close to that. Today's topic is I-bonds. I-bonds are U.S. savings bonds, and the I stands for inflation. Where these really work well is, one, well, they're guaranteed by the U.S. government, like a savings bond. They are issued with a fixed rate of return. Half the return is fixed rate for the life of the bond. Right now, that's not very attractive, 0%. That's why I've had a tough time selling folks on these. Again, this is not right for everyone. Please consult with your financial professional. These used to be really undersold and still are because there's no commission. You can't buy these through your cold calling Merrill Lynch or Morgan or other wirehouse person, LPL. But you buy these directly from the U.S. government. So they are very cheap to get into, so to speak. What makes these great is that there is an inflation component that resets every 6 months. So the previous 6 months from November through April here, 7.12% annualized. So 3.6 or close to it, 3.55 something percent for the 6 months. That if you hold the bond for a year, that's risk-free minus an interest penalty. And I'll talk about that in a second. So when we have a reset here in May 1st, for the next 6 months, it'll actually be over 9%. So pretty good. Pretty good return for a guaranteed return. And here's a little caveat. It's a liquid F for 1 year. From years 1 to 5, there's a three-month interest penalty. But to have your principal guaranteed to you by the U.S. government and given the rate of savings accounts, it's pretty good. Some folks might be thinking, well, Mark, why did you like for people to use these previously? I often, when people were looking for emergency fund buckets that would return more, I still like these, at least for a small amount and kind of a third bucket. Obviously, there's some accessibility issues with them, call it liquidity issues. But because what happens, and I knew it would happen, is as soon as the inflation shoots up, and I certainly didn't think it was going to be to this degree, people often do go out and buy them right away. People do not buy them last November. It takes time. It gets on. If you're a busy parent, in my case, I'm a sandwich generation person too. Gen Xers like me, we're dealing with elderly parents and kids. You could easily put it off for 3 months. In this case, we're having a 12-month period here, and we're on the last 6 months of it, where we may never get a better rate like this. The odds of us having, call it an 8 year or 1 year of 8% inflation on average, is very unlikely. Possible, but unlikely. That's something you would see in a hyperinflation Venezuela, Argentina type. That, of course, theirs is a lot higher. So that's the reason I liked it. You know, you had safety. If you did have some inflation kicked in, it gave you a little extra return. And inflation is primarily the enemy of those savings accounts. You know, there's certainly an opportunity loss with yield, and you can do that other places. But that's a separate, emergency funds are a separate topic. So that's why I would like for folks, I'd like for folks to have these before, is that you have the fixed portion, which most of the time, recently here, it's been zero, but you have the inflation component. And that's where they're even worth doing now. If after 1 year, inflation goes away and the fixed portion is still zero, which seems unlikely, you can cash it in, pay your 3 months of interest penalty, and go invest in something else. The maximum on these is $10,000 per year per social. So again, the contribution amount is low, but still worth doing. You can do another $5,000 of paper bonds if you do using your federal tax refund. So most people don't do that. So the max is technically 15. But again, if you're a couple and you're doing 20 grand, not a bad deal. The tax can also be deferred up to 30 years. So those in the high income bracket, that's pretty good. And hopefully in 30 years, your tax rate will be lower. Or given if you're in a high income bracket, your savings is probably higher. Your required minimum distributions are probably larger. And towards the end of retirement, you could be in a high tax bracket anyway, which might make it worse. It might be worth a conversation, but at least you have that potential. Also, if your income is low enough, the interest can be federal tax-free for qualified education expenses. Now, their list of qualified education expenses is much smaller than that of a 529 plan, but still, it's certainly a nice feature to them. You can also gift bonds to someone else up to the annual, probably up to the annual gift tax limit, most likely. Otherwise, it has to come from your lifetime exemption, but it counts towards the recipient, not the giver. They can gift them to your kids, and that's what used to happen. These, you know, if you think of U.S. savings bonds, these were gifted to kids and put in a sock drawer someplace. The interest is compounded semi-annually, so that's pretty good. So technically, when you think about now, when you had 7.12 and 9.something coming, you have interest upon interest. That 7.12% is going to be put on the principal, and then you're going to have it compounded you're going to have that over 9% on your principal amount plus the 7%. That's pretty good. The more frequently something's compounded, the larger your return. Compounding is magical. It is the way you build wealth. It's kind of the real true test of having your money work for you. Certainly taking on risk and getting excess return can certainly do it too, but that magic of compounding. Now, that magic of compounding works against you if you're dealing with debt that's compounded. But that is a topic for another day. And as I mentioned, so the new rate is 9.65, 9 point something, and it starts May 1st. So these might not be right for everyone, but these are certainly worth looking at, especially if you're looking to do something that's low risk, has some nuance to them, but can certainly help you compensate for inflation. So I hope you found this helpful. We are in well under 10 minutes. So if you're running a mile or walking your dog a brisk, say half mile, hopefully this worked out perfect. Next up, I think we are talking about Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, or TIPS. That's another way that you can help hedge against inflation. Those get a little more complicated and nuanced. So thank you, everyone. Please subscribe. If you're someone who was looking for Minnesota Nice Investor, please keep listening. Subscribe, download. We've already taken some, we just had one episode, we took some user suggestions as far as removing some of our little building icons. So we want to make sure this podcast is of use to you as you try to build well-balanced wealth. Take care, everybody.